Hello. This story is the only remaining record of our existence, and the events which led us into obscurity. Everything else has been scrubbed from time. Makeshift Stories 115, Series Chapter 3, Taking Control. Before the attacker could get up from the floor, Janva fought with Galen to move his body over to the conference table, then sat and watched as the other Triffle shook off the impact with the wall. She found its name in Galen's mind. Its name was Amos. He was the leader who was responsible for the Triffle banishment. She watched through the host's eyes as Amos slowly got to his feet. He called for medics, then sat down at the opposite end of the table and stared into Galen's eyes, searching for a sign of another presence behind the dark liquid chestnut irises. But he found none. Aleutian influence was most effective when it was hidden, delivered by transmutated individuals working inside a culture, so change looked like a natural outgrowth of local conditions. That had always been their preferred method of operation, Janva knew. But now at least two Triffles suspected she was here. She thought through her options, then had an idea. Maybe there was a way to continue her mission, at least until the council or a colleague noticed that she had dropped out of the collective mind. Then they would send someone else. They would have no other choice, she reassured herself. So Janva gave up the fight with Galen and receded into her host's subconscious. There she would seem like a dream. They would still share memories and knowledge, but his access to her mind would appear to be intuition. That was how she would control him. It was indirect and inefficient, and would need to be carefully executed to disguise her influence. Suddenly, two medics burst into the office, confused to see the CEO calmly sitting at the conference table, engaged in an intense discussion with Galen.
Sorry to interrupt, sirs. We were told there was an emergency here, but everything appears to be fine. Please excuse us.
Embarrassed, they begin to discreetly withdraw.
Wait,
Amos demanded.
I called you. There is a real emergency. Galen has been compromised. A transplant tried to take control of him. You need to examine our COO and figure out if he is still Galen or an Aleutian plant. You must use the new device.
It's still a test rig, sir. An experimental model,
the lead medic tried to explain.
I know that,
Amos squeaked dismissively.
Just administer the test.
The medics bowed in acknowledgement, then wheeled in a heavy cart carrying a device with dozens of exposed vacuum tubes protruding from its topside, like quills on the back of a porcupine. Galen let them wrap one band around his head and another around his wrist. The cathode ray tube clutched to the cart with metal bands warmed up and began to hum. One medic watched as the other asked Galen a series of true and false baseline questions. They both turned to Amos.
Ready, sir,
they announced. Amos got out of his chair, puffed his fur up, then leaned menacingly in over Galen.
Who are you?
He demanded.
Galen,
Galen replied.
Were you taken over? They tried.
Galen looked up with pleading eyes.
I know this has never happened before, at least that we know of. For some reason, the transplant failed partway through. Their agent has been attempting to fight me, push my mind into a corner and take over. But it has failed, sir. It appears that my intellect has prevailed.
This is our first win. We can finally defeat their ugly hegemony, Amos. They will ultimately lose, and we will triumph. We will become dominant.
Amos looked at the medics, who nodded dutifully in agreement.
What happened to the transplant? Is it gone?
Mostly,
the lead medic hesitantly admitted.
How can it be mostly gone?
Amos suddenly banged the table with his tail, startling the medics and Galen.
Is he an agent or not?
I still feel it trying to get in, but I have it isolated.
Galen insisted.
And there is a silver lining to the situation. I can see all its memories. Amos, I'll be able to learn and use their knowledge. I'll be able to do the same things they can.
Amos sat back into his chair and thought for a few moments, then turned to the medics.
Is he telling the truth?
Sir, the polygraph says he is,
the lead medic replied guardedly.
We haven't had a misdiagnosis in the trials to date.
How long would it take to make a more portable version of this thing?
Amos waved a claw at the lie detector.
4 or 5 million heartbeats. Maybe more?
The assistant medic tentatively ventured.
You have 2 million. Get it done.
Amos dismissed the medics, then turned to Galen.
You'll be wired to the machine at all times, and until it's finished, you'll be in a security cell. Oh, and if you lie, you'll end up as our first artificial satellite.
You have been listening to Ceres, a Makeshift Stories production. Ceres is released once a month between the 1st and the 7th. The story is written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing music by David H. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. You can help us out by writing a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or any of your favorite podcast services. Ceres and Makeshift Stories are released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means that you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us, and don't alter anything.
Thanks for listening to our new series. And please come back between the 15th and the 20th for Makeshift Stories regular podcast, somewhere, sometime.